still might be a little high.
That's good.
Okay, very good. All right, so please turn with me in your hymnals, probably in your Bibles, to Revelation 13. So Revelation 13. And if you're able to, please stand as we read God's word. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Please just remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just thank thee for thy word. Thank thee that you tell us where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. We can see the past through the history written in thy word. We see where we are presently because you know our hearts and you've written about it in your word. And now your word is writing to us about the things that will be hereafter. And we look forward to soon a return of Christ. But if not in our lifetime, those that are trusting in thee for salvation will be absent from the body, present with thee in heaven until our bodies will be resurrected on that day. We just pray that you would touch my heart and lips, that I would speak the right things, that I would have the right thoughts, right words, and help each one of us to be attentive to what you want us to learn this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. So you may recognize back in January 6th, we did a message on the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13, and I still admit to you, as I've done already a few sermons, that I'm still uncertain about a lot of things here in Revelation, so we're always taught to preach what we know. And so finding out how little I know, and I don't want to start preaching about stuff I don't know. So as much as is in me is, I'll try to preach that I do know. All right, so today I'll maybe start with a conclusion. What I'd like to conclude with is that the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life of the Lamb, and another passage is called the Lamb's Book of Life. So the Lamb's Book of Life, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It appears that the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life are one and the same. That's what I've come to understand, or believe it. That's what it appears to me, that the eight times that the word the Book of Life is mentioned in Scripture, and the two times that it's qualified by being the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Book of Life of the Lamb, it's identifying those that have eternal life. And so it's important to note, is your name written in the book of life of the Lamb. And so, if you recall, we did talk about this before, that there was a question about whether, like in this case, it's saying in verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life." So the hymn that they're worshiping is in verse 4, "And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast." So not only did they worship the dragon, and if you recall, we talked about the dragon, and that's in verse 9 of chapter 12, the chapter just before this. In chapter 12, we learn that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And in chapter 12 there, it's talking about the future, that he'll be cast into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So, and it's this trigger that triggers him to understand, for Satan to understand, that his time is short. That's in verse 12, the end of verse 12, "Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Well, how in the world does he know that? Right now, as far as I understand, he doesn't know that his time is short. He's working actively to gain control over all of God's creation and the hearts of men. That lion, seeking whom he may devour, comes to us as an angel of light. All these people had to say, "Oh, I saw Jesus." It's interesting, they say, "Oh, he was like a light." Well, that's how Satan appears to us, as an angel of light. And so we have Jesus Christ appeared to us in the scriptures here 2,000 years ago, and hear him. Yeah. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ, not people who claim to have visions. And you'll see more and more. We've got this new apostolic reformation, NAR, becoming so popular right now. These are people who claim they're getting new revelations from God, and they'll tell you what God wants you to do. But who's this God that they're talking about? Certainly not the God of the Bible, God that holds his word above his name. And so people might come in the name of Jesus, and yet, what do we do? And we have to be reminded about so many things, right? So, what is it? Is it Deuteronomy 13? Deuteronomy 13, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass." Oh, so how would we end that verse if we were writing this? "Oh, it came to pass. Oh, here's this prophet, this dreamer of dreams, and it came to pass." Not just a dreamer of dreams and a prophet, but he said something would come to pass, and it came to pass. Well, let's read the rest here. Deuteronomy 13, verse 2. "And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So, very important. Not only are they coming, and that's just one example. I'm just giving you one example, this new apostolic reformation. Just one example of these dreamers of dreams and self-professed apostles. They're coming with revelations, and just measure those revelations based on the Word of God.
Right.
And so when you do that, and they fail, well, then they're a false prophet, even if their predictions come to pass. And so it's the Lord God who's proving you to see whether you love him. What's the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. The first and greatest commandment. Did I love the Lord thy God, my God, with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind this morning? Are we doing that even now? We may have many things on our minds, a lot of things. It's hard to surrender to the Lord. And so, isn't that something? The greatest commandment. How dare we think that we would ever gain one second in heaven, one second of being in the presence of God by our own works. How much we are dependent upon the very fact that it's a free gift.
Amen.
Free gift. Salvation is a free gift. So anyway, I'm talking about the conclusion before I start so that I don't get off track. Because what we're doing this morning is we're just reviewing something that we discussed January 6th, Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. And the emphasis back then was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And now it's the book of life. It's from the foundation of the world. And so the question was, well, which is it? Well, my proposal here is that it's both. And so, because God because to God, the past and the future are the present. Because with God, everything is present. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And the grammar there is awkward for any human being because we are not I am. We are I was, I am, I will be. But God, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, all in one, at the present moment. He is. Mind you, his flesh was in the fullness of time he had come. But that's for our perspective. That's for the manifestation to us. This is very similar to... Okay, so... is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, Scripture is saying the name was there from the foundation of the world. Okay? Much the same as Jesus Christ is a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it was necessary that the Lord, Jesus Christ, should be revealed for our sakes 2,000 years ago. So quite a time after creation. And so Jesus Christ appeared for our sake. And and so too, even though God knows the future, he knows those who are his even before we decide to repent toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's very similar to what we're learning in James. So in James, what's the verse in James? James chapter... Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. So Hebrews, James. So in James chapter 2 and verse 18, even 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We're talking about humans here. We're talking about people. That's the only way we know stuff. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So God knew Abraham, and Abraham believed God because God knew the heart of Abraham, and he knew what that meant. Anyone can say, I believe God. Anyone can just say that. But you don't know what's in their heart. God knew years before Abraham offered up his son on the altar. It says in Genesis 15:6 that Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. Years before he demonstrated it in his actions. And you know what? Even before he demonstrated it in his actions, it was years before, if God had called him to do that, that might have been a very difficult thing for him to obey at that point, even though he did truly believe in God. So each one of us, you know what happens? As you get closer and closer to God, not only do you recognize more and more how unworthy you are and how holy God is, but God gives you new assignments. Are you a believer in Christ? Have you trusted Christ for salvation? Is God giving you new assignments? If not, are you growing? Or are you still sucking on the bottle? Now, of course, that's not meant to be mocking, because each one of us struggles with maturity and growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each one of us is growing, and we want to encourage one another. But the encouragement is, yes, it's important to have that milk of the word as a babe in Christ, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And so we covered that. Remember when we covered that in 1 Peter, those steps about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge... It's just over the page here. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. So add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Charity being the last one. What, is that not the same as brotherly kindness? No. That's quite a... Charity is quite a... quite a thing. That's a sacrificial giving. There's no indication that you're going to receive anything. Nope.
Yes.
No praise, no thank you. And you do it anyway. It's what the Lord, you know, as the Lord loved the church, so a man you ought to also love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so a sacrificial love. Not expecting anything in return. And that's difficult. But necessary, and so that's a progression of maturing in God. So that's the conclusion. And so let's just... before I go there. very important, you know, these days, because what we're seeing, we're looking in chapter 13 of some terrible times where people not only are worshiping Satan, because people brag right now that they're worshiping Satan, they're going to worship this Antichrist, this beast. They're going to worship this beast that Satan gives power to. And I believe, like, there's a lot of people who claim to worship Satan and stuff right now, but I don't think they seriously understand, recognize. Well, we don't know what they understand, what they don't. We pray that God would have mercy on them, and they would. The Word of God is powerful, and so it can touch anyone. But I think it's. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's what we did this morning, right? We came before his presence with singing, like corporately. And of course, we can at home sing with melody in our heart, praising God, thanking God. But we come corporately. It's so encouraging. We're praising God for all he's done. Verse 3 of Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. New World Order claims that we have made ourselves, and that we are making ourselves, morphing ourselves into something better. We did not make ourselves. We are made by God. And it kind of interests me. I see robots being made. And so man is quite proud of some of these robots. I see a robot yesterday that can roll over and it can do a backflip. And so different things that these robots can do. But they're starting to put artificial intelligence into these robots. And so God made us. Now, animals are God's robots, really. They all do everything they do by instinct. When they're licking your face, it's not because they love you, it's because there's salt on your face from your perspiration. But we can put anthropomorphisms or anthro whatever the other patheticisms or whatever it is into creatures. But realize, and I've mentioned this before, that phenomenon of Tickle Me Elmo, people were putting human characteristics on this little doll, and even the Cabbage Patch dolls, they were putting human characteristics on an inanimate object. Well, I guess it wasn't inanimate, it was like, I guess Tickle Me Elmo did something, it giggled or what, I don't know what it did, I never had one. But can you understand how mankind goes backwards, right? Like, they go backwards into thinking that creatures that God has made that cannot do anything volitionally, everything is by conditioned response, but quite amazing. They're just like amazing, like a lot of our robots that we're building. But man, God truly has given man volitional choice. And so it's your choice whether you will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you say, well, it's already written in God's book before the foundation of the world. Well, was Jesus Christ literally crucified before the foundation of the world? No. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world happened 2,000 years ago. It was like, how many years? 4,000 years after creation? So, what does that mean? How does that work? Well, that's the interaction between God and man. We as mankind, we're limited to right now. And we can only talk about the past and believe about the future. Believe about the past, because we can't prove it. And so, we believe about the past, we're in the present, we're believing about the future, but God sees it all at once. So, of course, Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, because that was not plan B. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, raising from the dead, is not plan B. It's plan A, right from the very beginning. And so, too, it was plan A that whoever would come to Christ, he would in no wise cast out. They would receive eternal life. Amen. So it's in his book. It's in his book. Same with all the DNA Remember, we're reading in Psalm, what was it? Psalm 37, that Psalm 40. That's all about our hairs, the hairs of my head. But where's the one that's all the members are written in his book? That's maybe it's 137. Okay, yes, 139. Psalm 139. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. All my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And that's talking about the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
Amen.
All my members were written. So in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them in the womb. So you are a unique person. You are, that was Psalm 139:16. All right, so we have not made ourselves. God made us. And so we are beholden to Him. And so just a quick review of what we covered January 6th of Revelation 13. So here, if you recall, the chapter separations are not inspired. They're helpful, but not necessarily inspired. We see that the dragon in verse 17 of chapter 12, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So we see in these first verses the identity of the beast. We see the role of Satan. Satan is inspiring this beast. This beast that rises up out of the sea. We see he has a relationship with the beast was there's a relationship of this beast with that vision that we see in Daniel. And this beast receives a deadly wound. And that's in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And so we're not sure if Satan is... You know, there's such a ambition right now in the world to be able to create life, to make life. And lots of attempts. Could it be that God might allow Satan something that could actually bring someone back to life like this beast? Now, many people say, well, we brought people back to life. Doctors have. You know, the heart wasn't beating anymore. And they brought him back to life. What else? Can you get back to life without a brain signal? I think not. I don't think you can do that yet. Okay. So whatever is going to happen, we don't know. It might be sleight of hand, or it might be something God allows different. But all the world will wonder after the beast. And verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So that's the dragon that we read in chapter 12. That's Satan, devil and Satan, that deceiveth the whole world, that old serpent. And we know who that is. That's the one that deceived Eve. And Adam followed knowingly and willingly to disobey God. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And so there we see so the identity of the beast, he's inspired, Satan inspires the beast to ascend to his level of power. And we see that the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his and great authority. And that was in verse 2. And there's a difference between the dragon and the beast. The dragon in Revelation 12:3 says that there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, we don't know the significance of this, but look at Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So there is some difference there. Don't know the significance of it, but one thing that we do find here is that upon his heads, the one name, the name of blasphemy. And so we see the attitude of the beast, singular name, blasphemy. And so that's the identity of this beast with regard to Satan inspiring him. The relationship of this beast with the visions in Daniel. We've covered Daniel. You know, like when I say we covered Daniel, just skim through it. We're skimming through everything here. All of this stuff would take so much time to go over. We add up all the time that we spend in church listening to sermons. It's such very, very little time, isn't it? Say compared to going to school or being at work or learning anything. Sometimes we take a course at work that might be 3 days long and, you know, eight hours a day and 24 hours. So that's an entire year of being in church with half-hour services, sermons, or half a year with hour-long services. So anyway, just some thought. So, well, what that means is you got to be at home studying this. And the most valuable thing you can do to study God's Word is be faithful to read God's Word. So if you haven't started already, please consider doing this. Try to read God's Word through in a year. And I've gotten an assistance on my computer. I have it that I've got the calendar right there on the computer and what portion I'm going to read for the day. And it's very helpful to me to have that. So whatever can help you do that. That's the important thing, because when you're dealing with the genuine, when the false comes along, you'll go, well, that doesn't quite ring true. Amen. You may not be able to point to the verse, but you know what? The more you read God's Word, the more you'll be able to point to the verse. You'll be able to find it. And then it starts to grow on you. And so deal with the genuine. And you may not be able to answer it when there's challenges that come along. But but you'll be able to sense there's something not quite right with that. So anyway, and so we did look into Daniel. So Daniel chapter 7 verse 3 is talking about the four great beasts that came out of the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion. It's in Daniel 7:4. Daniel 7:5. The second like a bear. Daniel 7:6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. And Daniel 7, verse 7, fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. And Daniel 7:8, I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this thorn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And so this is what we find in Revelation 3:2, the text for today, portion of the text. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So that's the characteristics of this that are similar to what we read in Daniel. And so there's a consistency in the prophetic words of God's of the Bible, in that what we see of the end times, not just the end times, the progression of the nations happening, we see not only in the Old Testament but in the New Testament as well. And so he receives this deadly wound. And there's all kinds of speculation about that kind of thing. I should point out, I do remember, there was a time when the League of Nations, the United Nations, was thinking of the whole world as a diversity of countries and the sovereignty of countries and the beautiful mosaic of the individual cultures from different countries. That has really changed over time. Now, the New World Order says, no, no mosaic. It all has to be ubiquitous. And so that's interesting how that... we haven't really... In other words, what they were saying was against Scripture. Like, Scripture says that they will come all come together against the Lord and against His anointed. And so, lo and behold, that's what we see. It's happening now. And so... the influence of the beast, we find that the people worship him. The beast receives worship. The extent, all of the world, we're told, will have worship of the dragon and also of the beast. Not only do we see that the beast is worshipped, but he is blasphemous. He's very arrogant. In verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now you see, it's using the past tense, was. Remember we talked about this? We talked about preterism. There are some folks that say that all of this is in the past. It's already happened. Now, and there was most of all this was accomplished by 70 AD. And since 70 AD, everything has been getting better and better. Now, that's the majority of Christendom. The majority of Christendom is saying things are getting better and better. I had one of my cousins, one of his wives, said that Hal, you know, she studied the Bible. She actually was able to fool some of my relatives that she's a Christian. Well, she's not, so I had to say, come, meet my relative, tell him clearly you're not a Christian. Now, she says she's a Christian, but I said, you're not a Bible-believing Christian. No, she's not. She believes that hell is whatever you make it on earth, like, you know, whatever bad things you experience on earth, that's hell. Well, that's nothing what the Bible teaches. And so she carries her Bible with her, and And she says that that everybody is going to go to this beautiful utopia, heaven. Everybody's going to go there. The only hell that's experienced is this life on this earth. And after this life on this earth, you're all up in some bliss, some utopia. And she carries her King James Bible with her. And so, doesn't believe it, but she carries it. Seems to be quite powerful in her testimony. Why did I bring that up? Because when I'm reading these verses, it's like in the past. Past verbs. Well, because in God's economy, he's talking about the future, the things that happened. If you're standing at that time, what has transpired to this point? And so you'll find that the majority of those that call themselves Christians, they believe that things are getting better and better. And if you don't comply, there's going to be terrible things to you because you're interfering with things getting better and better. And so there's a warning given to anyone who believes that what the Bible talks about will come to pass, will actually come to pass. So the authority that the beast is given was limited to 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. The anger of the beast toward God, the attack of the beast on the saints, the community or the union of everyone that worships the beast, and so that's where we see in verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then in chapter 17, verse 8, we read a very similar thing. The beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And so there we see it's talking about the book of life from the foundation of the world. Well, in chapter 13, it's the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I propose to you that it's both. That both it is that in a similar way, your name is written in God's book from the foundation of the world is because of God's ever presence. He was present in the future when that book was written. Much the same way he was present in the future when the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was slain for our redemption. And so Galatians 4:4, the Lamb, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So that's when the fullness of time was come. We read in 2 Timothy 1:8, be thou, and this is talking to Paul is talking to Timothy, so be not thou, so it's not be not ye, okay, so be not thou, he's talking to a singular. Our beautiful old English that preserves that information, as whether you're talking to one person or more. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions. So Timothy, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, plural, and called us for the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's according to God's economy, but according to us, according to our observation, in order to be manifested to us, we had to see it within time. Within time, we, like Abraham, believed, and it was accounted unto us for righteousness. But God sees it. And when I say sees it, you're thinking he sees it in the present, right? Well, he sees it from past, present, and future. That's how he sees it. We have a hard time with it. 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest. See? So in the same way that the lamb slain from the foundation of the world needed to be made manifest 2,000 years ago, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. But God commendeth, and this is in Romans 5:8-11, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, the stone which was rejected, they crucified him. Reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Resurrection.
Amen.
We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior today. And each day in our life, we can rest in him, because he has fulfilled all the commandments. And in that case, in particular, the commandment of the Sabbath. He's fulfilled that in his own blood on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension. So he's resurrected. We're saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. And so we did talk about that last time. Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And so we're not automatons. God did a perfect job in creating us to have a volitional choice. That means you're a free agent. You're a free agent to decide for yourself. You know what that means? Like some of these hockey players or actors or even professionals, they might have a manager. They might have hired a manager to manage their profession. But some of them, they go on their own. They're a free agent. That means that they make all the negotiations themselves. Satan would love to let people believe that they're not a free agent, that they must have him as their manager. That's not true. You can have freedom in Christ. Yes. You can have a negotiation directly to God, but it must be done through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one that can approach God on your behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can exercise your right as a human being to exercise your right as a free agent before God, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow for a word of prayer as we dismiss. Dear God, we pray that thou would help us to learn from thy word. We thank thee for thy goodness to us. In Christ's name, amen.